from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, husband, and homeschool dad. We have a great lineup of guests today to talk about Syria, the military, a protest you'll want to be a part of, and ways to cut the federal budget. You'll want to stay tuned. President Trump started talking this week about pulling all of our troops out of Syria who are there supporting the effort against ISIS. Joining Tony to talk about this bold move is South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham.
Senator Graham, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks, Tony. It's a lot of heavy stuff going on in the world.
Well, it's just as dangerous as when we spoke last time, and I heard as you were talking about this issue, and you said that pulling American troops out of Syria and leaving it to the Russians and Iranians would be the biggest mistake of the Trump presidency.
Yeah, and hats off to President Trump for allowing our military to go after ISIS. We've pretty much destroyed them in Iraq. We got them on the run in Syria. Raqqa has fallen. There's still over 3,000 ISIS fighters roaming around Syria. We have about 2,000 American troops helping the Arabs and the Kurds destroy what's left of ISIS. If we left now, I think the conditions for an ISIS comeback would be great. We got them on the ropes. Let's pull on the gas here and keep our eyes on the prize, which is to destroy ISIS.
What effect would a pullout now have, not only on ISIS, but Syria in particular?
Okay. This is a really good question. I know the people listening to this podcast are big supporters of Israel. So am I. So Western Syria is under the control of Assad, who's a proxy of the Iranians and a puppet of the Russians. Israel has had to bomb several times inside Syria as Iranian bases are beginning to form, and Hezbollah is a proxy of Iran. And if we left, and the vacuum would be filled by Russia and Iran, you'd be giving Syria to the Iranians, which is a nightmare for Israel, because the corridor between Beirut and Damascus is a flow of arms to benefit Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. So if we left, ISIS would come back. Russia and Iran would dominate Syria. It would be a nightmare for our friends in Israel. And Turkey would probably go full-scale on in a war with the Kurds. Other than that, it'd be a good idea to leave.
Well, I think people need to realize the Shiite Muslims that are aligned with Iran are the Iranians.
The most important thing about Syria, just what you said.
And so they're in the minority, but they're trying to dominate. And there's a lot of concern. I mean, I've been reading where Iran is basically going in. I mean, we bolstered them with the Iranian nuclear deal, giving up assets, which they're using to prop up Syria, because Syria is in trouble. It's a war-torn country. Their humanitarian needs are great. And they don't have, I mean, their economy's devastated. And so Iran is propping them up. And so Iran really does have a firm grip on Syria. And if, as you suggest, if we pull out, we leave it to the Russians and to the Iranians.
Well, I just got back from Israel. So we went up on the Golan Heights. In the border with Israel and Syria, there were three towns on the border. One was in the hands of the rebels. One was in the hands of Assad forces with a Hezbollah element, and one was in the hands of ISIS about 20 miles down the road. So Israel is getting pressure on the Syrian border. But
right.
Lebanon, southern Lebanon, there's 160,000 rockets and missiles pointed at Israel, provided to Hezbollah by the Iranians. If the Iranians control Syria more than they are today, it allows a corridor all the way from Tehran down to Beirut.
Correct.
And that's a nightmare for Iraq. It's a nightmare for Israel. It's probably the end of Lebanon. With 2,000 troops helping the Arabs and the Kurds, we virtually destroyed ISIS. Our goal is to allow people to go back to Syria, build up the forces on the ground that would push back against Assad and Iran, help them, then try to negotiate a peace agreement that does not give Syria to Iran. That's the goal. And if we withdraw these forces, we can't accomplish that goal, and we'll put Israel in a very bad spot.
So, Senator Graham, have you discussed this with the president?
At relent. And hats off to the president for going after ISIS. He's probably going to pull out of the Iranian nuclear agreement, which is long overdue. This is one of the worst agreements since the deal with Hitler. He also wants to check Iranian influence in Yemen, in Syria, in Lebanon, and Iraq. And the center of gravity now is Syria. If we can destroy ISIS and allow the Arabs and Kurds to regroup and push back against Assad and Iran, we can get a settlement in Syria that would be good for the entire region. But Iran is on the march. They destabilized four Arab countries, and we're about to have a full-scale Sunni-Shia war if something doesn't change.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, my guest. So, Senator, the question is why? Where's the president getting his advice on this?
Well,
because the Middle East is a tricky place, I mean, you see what's happened under the last 8 years under the last administration. What's happened there? This place is just in complete upheaval.
Well, but when things are complicated, you try to make them simple. Pulling out in Iraq was a nightmare. Obama was told to leave some troops behind. 10,000 would have kept it together. He basically overrode his commander's advice. ISIS started in Iraq, then they spread to Syria. So every time we left Libya against sound military advice. So the president, to his credit, has followed military advice. He's taken the gloves off. This statement a couple of days ago really bothered me. I hope he'll continue to let General Mattis and General Dunford conduct military operations, giving us the best chance to destroy ISIS and contain Iran. I think he will. He's going to withdraw from the Iranian nuclear agreement in May if we can't get a better deal, and I don't blame him. Also in May, he's going to sit down with North Korea and try to end one of the biggest threats to world order, the North Korean nuclear program. He has done a lot to roll back ISIS. He has stood up to the Iranians. And he has finally got Kim Jong-un at the table. If he goes weak on Syria, I think he will undercut everything he's done.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Senator Graham, as always, great to visit with you. Thank you for your insights. And I just before we go, we're up against a break, but I know that key to all of this is having a military that can back up the president. And I know as a military veteran, you see our armed forces are now being rebuilt as a result of the cuts that we've sustained.
That was great news, and this is the Reagan model. You know, say what you mean what you say, and be able to do something about it.
All right. Senator Lindsey Graham, thanks so much for being with us today.
If you want to find out more about Senator Graham, head over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. Also, I want to invite you to be a part of keeping Washington Watch on the air by going to TonyPerkins.com and making a contribution. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with a look at a shift in policy in the Air Force.
Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. In an exclusive FRC Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson and Colin Hanna explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, husband, and father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, David Salkeld. Last year, you'll remember us talking about Colonel Leland Bohannon, who was suspended for declining to sign a certificate of spousal appreciation for a retiring Master Sergeant's same-sex spouse. Joining Tony with an update is one of the original members of the Army's Delta Force and FRC's Executive Vice President, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin.
General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks a lot, Tony.
This is a major decision by the United States Air Force that will have broad implications for religious freedom and our nation's military. Explain exactly what has transpired in terms of Colonel Bohannon.
He did apply for a religious accommodation. And the Equal Opportunity Office, which works directly for the Inspector General of the Air Force, made a recommendation that that he be essentially punished for not signing that same-sex certificate of appreciation for a retiring service member. Now, when the Inspector General makes a judgment, it takes almost an act of Congress to overrule the Inspector General, because the Inspector General, generally speaking, is about as high as you can go with a complaint. And the complaint that was filed by the two, the same-sex couple, went all the way to the Inspector General. And his, ultimately, the judgment from the Air Force, from a review board in the Air Force, was to overrule the Inspector General, to overturn a decision that he made. And, Tony, that's significant. This is a good win. This is one of those times where we and all the people that work with us ought to be extraordinarily pleased and feel good about the fact that we have helped preserve religious freedom inside our military by our petitions, our actions, our calls to members of Congress, and our visits to members of Congress. And I feel good about this because I've never seen this in 36 years in the Army. I never saw the inspector overruled on anything.
So on Monday, the Air Force Secretary Heather Wilson announced that the director of the Air Force Review Board agency had ruled in favor of the colonel. So, I mean, essentially, this is all the way at the top of the Air Force. Now, this is one of those cases, as you pointed out, you delivered petitions. We had lots of thousands of petitions were signed by people who heard about this, to either receiving our emails or listening to radio. You met with members of Congress. We discussed this. Members of Congress weighed in. This is how, I mean, unfortunately, this is how the process works. In order to get justice, to get the right thing done, people have to weigh in. And, you know, by our proximity and our relationships, we're able to get these things accomplished. But this is not just about Colonel Bohannon. This will send a message throughout the ranks of the military that religious liberty is to be respected.
You know, I am quite sure that this is reverberating not only in the Air Force, but throughout the whole Department of Defense. And this one, I mean, again, they overruled a judgment by the Inspector General of the Air Force. The rest of the military services are sitting up and paying attention to this. And what this means is that the paradigm is shifting, Tony, and that has been, that's something that in our planning sessions here at Family Research Council, we talked about, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, we've got to have a paradigm shift to where commanders in the military and responsible leaders in the military have got to be more concerned about protecting religious liberty of the individual service members than they are about threats of lawsuit by some of these frivolous fly-by-night organizations that have a habit of doing that kind of thing. And I think we see now that that paradigm has shifted, and all the military knows that that paradigm has shifted, and now we actually have a commander-in-chief that cares about this kind of thing, that has himself said that he will protect religious liberty. And you got that pledge out of him, by the way. You got that pledge out of him before he was elected president, and he's following through on it now. And I think this has tremendous implications for religious liberty in the future. There will be some more challenges, and we'll fight them the same way we did this with our key partners, you know, one of which is First Liberty down in Texas with Kelly Shackelford.
If you want to find out more about General Jerry Boykin, just head on over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. Also, a quick reminder that your generous contributions to Family Research Council enable us to continue making these programs available, and you can donate when you visit TonyPerkins.com. We'll be right back with a protest you can get behind.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council here in Washington, and we're defending and advancing the things that matter most: faith, family, and freedom. Please stand with us right now. Our work depends on people like you who truly care about the future of our nation. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling toll-free 800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008, or at TonyPerkins.com.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Angry parents across the nation are planning to remove their children from public schools on April 23rd to protest graphic sex education curriculum being disguised as anti-bullying. Joining Tony to discuss the protest is the activist mommy, Elizabeth Johnston.
Elizabeth, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Thank you so much. It's an honor.
Well, I've been tracking what you have been doing as you have been exposing the Human Rights Campaign, Planned Parenthood, and the graphic nature, which is really sexual indoctrination that's taking place mm-hmm. of these kids. And you've tapped into something where parents are, as they find out, they're outraged by this.
Absolutely. The vast majority of parents do not want schools teaching their children how to engage in, oral and anal sex, and they certainly don't consider that to be abstinence teaching. And would you believe that groups like, as you mentioned, you know, special interest groups like the Human Rights Campaign, radical leftist LGBT organization, and Planned Parenthood are working in concert together and sneaking into the schools, claiming to be abstinence-only, Tony. And do you know what they consider abstinence-only to be? Teaching kids how to masturbate one another and anal and oral sex. Not to mention, the Human Rights Campaign, of course, is encouraging kids to question their gender through anti-bullying programming, as you already mentioned. And parents do not know this is taking place. They are very sneaky with the language. They change the name of the programs, Tony, so that the parents can't trace the programs. There's so many different names to the programs, and this is outrageous, and we are not going to stand for it, and our kids' innocence is not for sale.
Tell us about what's going to happen on April the 23rd.
Absolutely. It's amazing to watch what God is doing. We have no resources. We are literally a few moms who have a little bit of courage and a lot of passion. And we started with focusing on one city. We were going to launch this in Charlotte, North Carolina, because we knew we had no resources and we couldn't handle much more than that. And I will have you know that this movement has gone global. We are in Australia and in Canada. And we are doing press events in at least four major cities, Bloomington, Indiana, the home of the monster Alfred Kinsey, who's responsible for a lot of this, Charlotte, North Carolina, Sacramento, California, and Austin, Texas, where they have a very strong movement of parents that are fighting graphic sex ed. And so it's just amazing to watch. And what we're asking people to do, we have on our website, please go to sexedsitout.com. And on sexedsitout.com, you'll get all the resources you need. We have graphics for signs. We will be providing each of the protest groups with signs as well. We have a letter to the principal where you can print the letter out and sign it and explain to your principal why you're pulling your child out on the 23rd. And we want to hear all of the letters, all of the emails coming in about principals giving you a hard time about this when the principals were pushing the anti-gun March for Our Lives. And
that's a very interesting point, Elizabeth. I happened to be in California the day of that march. I had been there for a couple of days for some speaking events, and I was staying in a hotel in which the Teachers Federation in California was staying. Supposedly having their annual meeting or something, but they all took to the march with their anti-gun T-shirts, protect children, not guns. And I actually thought about this. I said, what would happen if there were a march for life, a walkout right. for something else? What would these educators who, many of them left-leaning, actually using the students to advance their own political agenda, how would they respond?
Right. And this is a sit out everyone can support and that we should be supporting. If you are not a rabid, foaming at the mouth leftist liberal who wants to pervert the minds of children, everyone should be able to support this sit out. And this is parent led, not Women's March led, not George Soros led. This is parent led. And this is saying we're the taxpayers. We're the parents. you don't own our children, and you're not allowed to rape the minds of our children with this pornographic material. We've got to do it. We've got to rise up and take our kids back. And so, you know, it's amazing the power that mama bears have. And that's really a lot of my following is mama bears. And we're not going to put up with this anymore. We're going to expose these radicals, these social Marxists that are trying to indoctrinate our kids.
Well, Mama Bear, I want you to come back on here as we're leading up to this event. I want to get you on periodically here to give us an update on how this is going, because we definitely want to help promote what you're doing, because I think it's absolutely spot on and needs to be
done. Thank you so much. Thank you so Elizabeth, much for giving this movement a voice, and I'd love to come back.
All right. Well, we definitely will. We're going to get at least weekly updates on this. And I'm very, very interested to see the response of educators and how they treat this differently. And we will we'll jump on that because if they're going to allow kids to walk out of school to protest the Second Amendment, they certainly should allow parents to pull kids out to protest pornography that's being masqueraded as sex education in the classrooms.
Amen.
Elizabeth Johnson, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks for what you're doing, and we appreciate you.
You too, Tony. God bless.
If you want to find out more about the activist mommy or the protest on April 23rd, head over to tonyperkins.com and follow the links. Also, I want to invite you to be a part of keeping Washington Watch on the air by going to tonyperkins.com and making a contribution. Again, that's tonyperkins.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with a look at attempts to curb the federal budget.
Where is our country headed? Are we moving in the right direction? Mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. and join hundreds of Americans that want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, House Speaker Paul Ryan, Kirk Cameron, Kellyanne Conway, Secretary Ben Carson, and Sean Hannity. Don't miss the early bird price of $99 at valuesvotersummit.org.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, David Salkeld. Just 2 weeks after President Trump signed the $1.3 trillion omnibus bill, Republicans are discussing ways to cut some of the funding in the spending package. Joining Tony is Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina, who is also the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus.
Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, great to be back with you and obviously with your listeners. And it's a critical time, and you're right. We went back to the district, and many of us got to hear an earful from our constituency on this omnibus. Fortunately, I was one of the ones that voted against it, but it is very troubling for a lot of people who thought that Washington, D.C. was going to be different this time around now, under President Trump.
Yeah, Mark, the Freedom Caucus, I think every member of the Freedom Caucus voted against the omnibus bill, and you clearly sent a message to the president ahead of time saying this is not a good thing, you should veto it. The president talked about it, he almost did, but then at the last moment he did sign it. But there are discussions taking place about using a procedure to pull this thing back and trim it down.
Well, there is. There's a rescission vehicle that allows us to go back, and with a simple majority vote in the Senate, and certainly has to pass the House, but we can trim back part of that $1.3 trillion that we actually authorized just a couple of weeks ago. Now, here's the key, Tony. It needs to be more than talk. The American people and your listeners, they're smarter than this, and they know that if we just put up a show vote in the House and say we're going to rescind this amount of money or cut back here and not actually get a vote in the Senate and pass it in the Senate, send it to the president, all it's going to be is just another disappointment. So it's critically important that your listeners call their members of Congress and say, you know, we're supporting you in this, but also we want you to be serious about it so that it's not just a messaging bill.
So, Congressman Mark Meadows, how does that process begin? Does Congress take the first step? Does the White House take the first step? How will that take place?
Well, Congress will need to take the first step. I will say that there's been some real good work that has happened in the last week or so. You know, Tony, you and I have talked about it and about the priorities that are important to moms and dads, aunts and uncles on Main Street, that we need to make sure that we address this in this piece of legislation. But I can tell you the president is very serious about that. He's encouraged it. I know some of our leadership has been with the president as recent as yesterday discussing some of these issues. And so I fully expect that within the next week to 10 days, we'll be voting on it in the House, sending it over to the Senate. And again, it doesn't take 60 votes in the Senate. It only takes 50 votes. So the last time I checked, we have a 50-vote margin that we can work with as long as we don't get a thumbs down from, you know, a couple of our more moderate Republican senators. We should be in good shape in sending it to the president for his signature and actually being able to roll back some of this spending.
Congressman Mark Meadows, one final comment. You said a week to 10 days. So should we, when Congress returns next week from the resurrection week break, and being back in the districts, this is a work week in the districts, do you think we'll see something the first part of the week begin to move on this?
I think what you'll start to see is the talk about it start right away. What will happen is we'll go back in on Monday, on Tuesday morning, a conference will be brought together of all the Republican members. It will be brought up there. The discussion will pick up in earnest on Tuesday and Wednesday. I don't anticipate a bill until the following week. But certainly they need to hear from people on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday of next week. So from an action item standpoint, if you'll reach out to, you know, all those that are listening now, if you'll reach out to your members of Congress next week on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday and say, let's cut some of the money that you appropriated a few weeks ago, I think that would be a good, simple message to send.
All right. Well, we'll obviously do that, and we'll be tracking this very, very closely in the next week and a half. Congressman Mark Meadows, always great to have you on the program. Thanks for taking time out to join us.
Thank you, Tony. God bless you. God bless America.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.